Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you're turning there, just a quick question. Why do cows have bells? Did you ever think about that? Why do cows have bells? Because their horns don't work. So I was talking to a buddy of mine. He said, he said, I wanted to name my son Lance, but my wife said it was too uncommon. He said, you know what I told her? He said, I told her that back in medieval times, people were named Lance a lot. Lance a lot. It's a common name, see? Amen. So, quick question, another question. What if Jesus stayed in the tomb? I want you to think about that for a second. What if death was not conquered? Let's look into God's Word to find the answers. Let's pick up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So if I were to ask you this morning, if I were to mention the world's greatest escape artist, no doubt that Harry Houdini would pop into most of our minds. Amen? Let me start by saying this. Harry Houdini died in 1926. But he was, and still is, considered one of the greatest in his craft. In his heyday, it seemed impossible to keep him trapped. Whether handcuffed, tied up, chained, or sealed in, it didn't matter. Somehow Houdini managed to escape. However, all of that came to an end in the fall of 1926. Now, one thing a lot of people don't realize is that Houdini had been dabbling in witchcraft and had a desire to communicate with the dead for a good portion of his life. He wanted to know if he could escape death. That was his main concern. Houdini gave his wife a secret code word to use on his birthday after his death. So on his first birthday, after he died, his wife lit a candle, sat in front of a picture of Harry Houdini with that password, with that secret code word. Guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. And year after year, she did that same routine on Houdini's birthday, and nothing happened. Year after year. And after the 10th year, she blew out that candle and never lit it again. You see, Harry Houdini escaped everything except for death. But praise God, there is one who escaped it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and he lay dead in the tomb for 2 days, but on that third day, he overcame death. He laid aside those grave clothes, and he walked out of that tomb as our risen Savior and our precious Lord. Amen. Now, let's just think back on that original question I posed. What if Jesus stayed in that tomb? What if Jesus stayed in that tomb? Now, let's consider that tragic situation if that were true. What does the Bible tell us about that? Well, first thing it tells us is that preaching would be futile. Preaching would be futile. Look at verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. That word empty literally means in vain, futile. I'd be wasting my time every Sunday morning, and you would be wasting your time sharing the gospel. If Jesus were still in the grave, the Bible tells us that preaching would have no value. It would be completely futile. Our hope, our eternal destiny is not in the cross. It's in that empty tomb. Amen. We need to understand that. It's in that empty tomb. So, why is there so many that deny the resurrection? And I'm even talking in Christian circles, so-called Christians deny the resurrection. They need to turn in their Christian credentials and stop trying to deceive people. Amen? Plain and simple. Jesus has risen. Jesus is alive, and he will live forevermore. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. Without this, there is no gospel to preach. A message apart from the empty tomb is empty. It's vain. It is an exercise in futility. Plain and simple. Second thing. If Jesus stayed in the tomb, faith would also be useless. Verse 14 again. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also empty. Why? Think about that. Why? Simply put, why would we put our faith in a dead Messiah? Why would we put our faith in a dead Savior? Faith is only as reliable as the object or the person that it is placed on. Amen? You see, I can have all the faith in the world in a broken chair, but the moment I sit on it, what's going to happen? It's going to collapse. It doesn't matter how much faith I have, it's based on what I put my faith in. Amen? That's why the Bible tells us we could have faith, how big? The size of a mustard seed, but we can still move mountains because of who that faith is in. Amen. It's in the one that moves those mountains. And a dead Savior cannot save anyone. If Jesus were still in the tomb, our faith would be completely empty. It would be vain. It would be 100% useless. So here's another question. I'm just full of questions today. But how do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? How do we know that Jesus is God incarnate? How do we know that Jesus is God in the flesh? Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. See, I'm not smart enough to know all these things, but I know where to look. Amen. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 3. The Bible says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, which means Jesus, who is the Son of God, took on human flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. So how do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? By his resurrection. The fact is that Jesus is alive. we don't put our faith in a lifeless Messiah. Amen? Jesus was resurrected, and he is alive and well today. Thirdly, if Jesus were still in the tomb, then the disciples would be nothing but deceivers. Look at verse 15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, if whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. I want you to see that really closely. It says, we are found false witnesses of God. Now, I want you to notice that the Bible is not saying that if Jesus is still in the grave, that we are simply mistaken. Is that what it says? No. You see, the Bible is very clear, and it clearly states that we would be false witnesses, that we would plain and simply be deceivers. You see, it's one thing to be mistaken, but it's a whole different thing. It's on a whole different level to be a false witness. Amen? If Jesus were still in the tomb, the Bible's telling us that we would be nothing but liars. So now we have to pose the question, were the disciples lying? Think about that for a second. And if so, why would they deceive and why would they lie about Christ? Well, thinking about human psyche and human nature, why do most people lie? Most people lie for personal gain, don't they? Right? They lie to benefit themselves. Now think about the disciples. We know that they did not receive any personal gain. They were arrested. They were tortured. They were martyred for their faith. A hypocrite and a martyr are not made from the same stuff. Amen? We need to understand that. People lie to get out of trouble. They don't lie to get into trouble. And Jesus' disciples, they put their very lives on the line to declare that we have seen him, we have heard him, we have touched him. And that was after the resurrection. There was no personal gain for his disciples. Amen. Fourth reason, if Jesus were still in the tomb, then sin would still be sovereign. Skip down to verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Right? We've all sinned. There is not a person today that can say that they haven't. We are all sinners by birth and by practice. Amen? But if Jesus were still in the grave, we would be sinners without any hope, without a shred of hope. God cannot overlook our sins. You see, if God stopped judging sin, then he would stop being holy, he would stop being righteous, and in essence, he would stop being God. He would cease to be God if that were to happen. That's why sin cannot go unpunished. Our sins must be pardoned in Jesus Christ or punished in hell. There's no in between. But they will never, ever be overlooked. We need to understand that. If Jesus were still in the tomb, that would also mean that death did not satisfy our sin debt. How do we know that Jesus was not just some, you know, religious freak, not some religious nut that was crucified? How do we know that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins? How do we know? It's because of Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Romans 4:25. Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered. He was put to death. He took our sins and nailed them to Calvary's cross. He was delivered up for our offenses, but he was raised up because of our justification. Last week, we sang that beautiful song, O Glorious Day. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely and forever. What a glorious day that will be. Amen. You see, no resurrection means no Savior. No Savior means no forgiveness. No forgiveness means no hope. He was raised for our justification. But if Jesus were still in that grave, then we are still in our sins. And that's a dreadful thought, because the wages of sin is what? Is death. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Fifthly, if Jesus were still in the tomb, then death would still have dominion. Let's look at verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, the Bible says they have perished. Every believer who has gone on to be with the Lord never made it, if that be the case. They would have perished spiritually and would have suffered eternally. If Jesus were still in the grave, then death would have dominion. Life would be nothing more than a cruel joke. There would be no promise of a better day coming. There would be no hope of life everlasting. Hell and the grave would be our promise for tomorrow. Apart from our resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, death does not have dominion, or would have dominion. But Jesus is risen from the grave. Amen. And death does not have dominion because of him. Those who have died in Christ have not perished and died in vain. And because he lives, we can live also. Jesus is indeed alive and well, and he holds the key, the Bible tells us, to what? To death, hell, and the grave. Death no longer has dominion because of him. And I can't fathom, why would anyone want to live or die without Jesus Christ? Amen? What a miserable, depressing existence that would have to be. And I can attest to it before I came to Christ. Amen? And even worse, what a tragic end to come to. Apart from Christ, suffering an eternity in hell, because death would still have dominion. If Jesus were still in the tomb, our future would also be full of nothing but fear. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. I heard this statement a few years back, and I just fell in love with it. It said, if Jesus is still in the grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus came out of that grave, nothing but that really matters. Without the resurrection, we are nothing but pitiful, miserable fools. Amen? We would have no peace. We would have no joy. We would have no hope. Our future would no longer be anticipated. We would no longer look forward to our future. Instead, it would be nothing but fear. But praise God, Jesus did walk out of that grave. He took the sting out of sin. He took the dread out of death. And he took gloom out of the grave. And he gives us a hope that is steadfast and sure. He gives us a future that is secure in him. Amen. I want to close with a story about one of my favorite people, Albert Einstein. You ever get a chance, read about Albert Einstein, read about his life. He was a pretty amazing guy. But this was a true story. Einstein was taking a trip on a train when the conductor came around to collect the tickets. But Einstein, he couldn't find his ticket. He searched through every pocket, he searched through his bags, but he couldn't find it. The conductor leaned over and he said, "Dr. Einstein, it's okay. I know who you are, and I know you bought a ticket." And he left and he went around to try to collect tickets from every other traveler. A few minutes later, he turned around and he sees Dr. Einstein on his hands and knees looking under the seats and on the floor trying to find that ticket. The conductor went up to him and said again, "Dr. Einstein, it's okay. I know who you are." Einstein looked up at him. He says, "And I know who I am. I just need to know where I'm going." That is classic Einstein. I need to know where I'm going. And isn't that the question for all of us? Amen. Do you know where you're going for eternity? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know that He is living inside of you, that He's in your heart? Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave. But the greatest question is, will you? Apart from Christ, there is no hope. Apart from Christ, there is no life. He is the resurrection and the life.